Hi there, I'm Frank. I'm from the Netherlands and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello and welcome once more, Coldplayers all over the world. My name is Rodrigo. I am a Coldplay fan and I'm here to host Cold Talks, the Coldplay fans podcast. Today's our second episode. If you haven't listened to the last one yet, please take a look. Please take a listen and actually, right? But wow, today we're talking with Frank. You're going to see that I pronounced his name wrong a couple of times, so I'll let himself introduce and tell us how can we speak his name, because I'm obviously failing in it. But we talked about being a Coldplay fan in the Netherlands, that is where he is from, and he is actually the drummer of Atlas Apart, that is one of the best Coldplay cover bands from the whole world, I would say. They have a very interesting story, and now they're starting to make their own songs. So he's telling us how it is to be a Coldplay fan and a music composer and a music writer at the same time, and how the band influenced him and his band, that is all made by Coldplay fans. This is a very nice story. I think you're going to like it. One thing that is crucial for you to properly understand my conversation with Frank is that you need to know that we recorded this a long time ago. So we didn't even have the official announcement of Music of the Spheres. We only had Higher Power and a lot of remixes. So please remember that this conversation happened a long time ago. And it's actually fun to see how we created theories about something that now we have very properly in our hands. And well, before we begin, please remember we have new episodes on Wednesdays. So please follow this podcast in the platform you were listening to it, your favorite one, for you not to miss any episodes. And also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D, in the end, in Twitter and Instagram. And I'm always posting about Coldplay, my opinions and news about Coldplay in those platforms. We can directly chat and interact there. And if you want to be a part of the podcast, just please DM me on any of those social media or even email me at codetalkspodcast@gmail.com saying why do you want to be here? What's your story, the beginning of your story with Coldplay? And then we can chat. It will be awesome to have you here. But now, without further ado, Frank, here we go. It's going to be very nice. But here he is, Frank Shepherd. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
No, but I didn't expect you to.
Oh my god. So correct me and introduce yourself. Hi, Frank. What's your name? How do you pronounce your name?
I'm Frank Schepers.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to pronounce
that. I'm sorry.
Well, I've been a Coldplay fan for quite some years now. It was second grade.
Wow.
I don't know what to call it in general, but I think it's middle school that people call it. So I was like 13 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, that's when it started. So that's 5 or 6 years now.
How old are you today?
I'm 18.
18. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a very similar story, actually, because I started listening to it. I was like 15 years ago, basically. I am 23, so you can do the math. But yeah, very good. Let's do a small piece of information here. What's your favorite Coldplay album?
Ooh, I think two, which are tied, which are Viva La Vida or Definitely Always Friends and Everyday Life.
Oh, Everyday Life.
They're just such great albums, and it's just them experimenting, and it's just the best. It's not because they had to make something, it's because they wanted to make something, which makes it even better.
Yeah, this is a great argument. I think that Everyday Life, like this idea of recording on cell phones, I'm pretty sure that we're going to have a final version of this is mere speculation, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have a final version of Wonder of the World, Power of the People, that song, or that it can be a little snippet or something, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have something related to this on Music of the Spheres somewhere, somehow, like a piece of lyric. I think that they planted something right there to for us to pick up later, don't you think? Or am I just to say nothing?
Perhaps. I mean, A Head Full of Dreams had a really small lookalike from Benny Adam. So I don't think it's impossible. But we already did get a kind of finished version on Live in Jordan, so...
Yeah. But it was too, like, only Chris and guitar, and he just have finished the lyrics, as he himself says, actually.
Yes, but I do think that the song doesn't need anything more.
Yeah, me neither. It's
supposed to be like Parachutes, the song.
Yeah.
Small and just the guitar.
Yeah.
It's perfect like that.
And I really like that it's the song that comes just before or after Erebus.
Before.
It's before, right?
When I Need a Friend is after.
Yes, perfect. But even better, we have two very small songs, in a way. Before and after the grandest and the greatest thing Coldplay have ever done, that is Erebus. For me, that just sums up the whole idea of everyday life, of being, as you said, whatever they want, just because they wanted to make an album, and then they did it. They started Erebus in... Viva La Vida era, right? And then they said, oh, this is a great time to finish this song. And I really like this movement of Coldplay going back to previous albums and previous eras to begin or finish songs like we have on Aliens.
Oh, Aliens, such a great track. It's
yes,
underappreciated.
Yes, I remember the exact day when Aliens came out, and I listened to it and I was like, holy moly, because I don't think we can swear in here. Like, I was just like, I don't know. There was something in that song that made me realize that Coldplay was going on a different point, on a different area. For me, things on Everyday Light started there, although they are very different songs, but the theme of it... Like, using the metaphor of aliens for the first time. And by the way, now we're seeing that again. Do you think that they will be somehow connected?
I don't think they're connected. I mean, Kaleidoscope and was kind of a part one. Like, it's a build-up to Everyday Life, I think, with the more experimental. People underrate it because it has something just like this, which isn't a fan favorite. But, I mean, even Miracle Someone Special is such a great song. And Hypnotized and All I Can Think About Is You and Aliens, they're just really good songs that are also very experimental, that build up to Everyday Life. But I do think it's a completely different galaxy.
Yeah, great choice of words saying galaxy based on everything we're seeing right now happening on Coldplay. But let's keep on your profile. So you first knew about Coldplay like some years ago. It's not a new story. When did you know that they were a thing for you? Like, when did you know that, oh, this band is special? These guys have something that I don't see that much, or that it's so new for me that I need to go deep into that. When was this moment?
I was 12 and I listened to all kinds of music. I didn't have a taste really yet. My brother said, Frank, you should listen to Coldplay, you should give them a go, I think you really like them. So I was like, yeah, whatever, fine. But then they released Adventure of a Lifetime, so I was like, right, I'll give it a go for you. And I added it to my playlist and I listened to it in class with my then best friend on like shared earbuds with, with just one earpiece in. I was like, wow, this is really great. And I remembered it, of course, and it stayed in my playlist. And Hymn for the Weekend came about, and I was like, such a great song again. And then I just started digging into them, and I was like, oh, they were the guys from Viva La Vida. I remember that, and everything fell into place. And then I just couldn't get rid of them.
Yeah. I have a very similar story with another band that I really like very much, that is Foes. Do you know that this band, Foes?
I heard of them.
They're pretty amazing. I think that you like them. But it was the exact context. But very cool. I think this is a very great origin story. So, I think the most interesting thing about you when it comes to Coldplay is Atlas Apart, right? What is Atlas Apart? How would you describe Atlas Apart, and how did the project begin?
How would I describe it? It's just a band, I think. That's the easiest word to use.
That's a great one.
And how did it start? Well, so I ran away, the Twitter user, I ran away. She had this fan project, and I said, like, yeah, sure, I'll edit it for you because I'm a video editor. It's a project where people could submit songs, like covers of B-sides and rarities, and they would, you know, form one big video. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. I play drums, perhaps I can do one too. And then I tagged a Dutch Twitter friend called Gideon, who plays guitar, like, insanely well. He's so... And I said, like, let's do this together, shall we? And Kyle Coldplay KB, the very famous pianist, he asked, like, can I join in as well? And that's how it started. And then it was so much fun covering Amazing Day. And we were like, let's do another one. We can't stop doing this. This is fantastic to do together. And then Reese joined in, and Elif joined in, and we just started making loads of covers and really formed the band and made it official.
that's so
now awesome. We're making originals as well, so it's really taking shape.
I really wanted to listen to that. Please let me know when this is out. But something that I really like about... There is a cover of Lovers in Japan that is definitely my favorite one, because in the very beginning of the video that you put on YouTube, there is, first of all, there is this piano that is, like, very influenced by Chris's piano on Milo Xyloto tour. And you put something in the strings of the piano that is, I have read about it, that Chris used to do that on, you put, I think it's pins.
Well, I'm not great in piano theory, but I think it's a pin that you put in the hammer that, like, slams strings, that makes it sound fuller or whatever. I don't know what it exactly does, but it works.
I think it is, because I remember reading that Chris himself did it for Viva La Vida, for the album, actually. He did that on lots of tracks on that album, including Lovers in Japan. So when you started the video by putting those pins on the hammer and playing exactly like Chris used to do, I was like, those guys that are Coldplay fans. I mean, they have a piano that is exactly the same of Chris's, and they're doing exactly what Chris's do, but they're not trying to sound exactly like Coldplay. You have your own sound, and it's, like, very inspired by Coldplay, the visuals and everything. So I was like, damn, this is something nice. And one thing that I have in mind since the very first day I listened to Atlas Apart was about original songs. So do you still want to, I don't know if you can talk about it, if your other band members are not going to kill you if you're talking about this, but do you think, how much will it be Coldplay inspired, and how Coldplay is inside your music production process?
Well, for the originals, we are trying to be not Coldplay, of course.
That's great.
So we are going to be stuck. We are very much conscious of that. We're going to be stuck with the label, like, oh, they did loads of Coldplay. But they're just an inspiration. So we're really trying to do our own thing and doing what we like ourselves and not just what they do. We're trying to be
our
own identity.
And how would you say that this own identity comes from? I mean, we have lots of references and lots of things, but besides Coldplay, of course, what do you think that are your references?
Everyone and everything.
That's amazing. I
don't know, really. They just arrive. Like, when Chris says that in an interview, you're like, yeah, sure, man, they just arrive. But it really is like that. And there's more musicians in our fandom that can probably talk about this as well.
So you're saying that your songs come from bathroom sinks?
No, not. Well, really just messing around and, like, standing in the shower and being like, wow, that's a great idea. And then just making it in your mind. And then, okay, now we just have to record it. And we've had this idea. Kyle, our first song idea is a song that, well, it was a sample, or not a sample, a voice memo from Kyle from 3 years ago, so now 4 years ago. And he said, like, wow, I found this on my phone and I played this 3 years ago. Can we do something with that? And we're still working on it. We're still trying to get it right. But it's very much almost finished.
Wow.
But so it's all kinds of things that songs come from. Also just, you know, playing and messing up and then being like, oh, that sounded really cool. And then just recording it.
You're a jamming band, basically.
Yeah, we can't really jam. That's what... that's one really difficult part. We try to have band calls once every time when we feel like it's needed. So yesterday, actually, we had one. And we try to discuss things and be like, okay, we have a deadline for that song then. And we just have to work on it. Because you can't go into a studio, be like, okay, now we're going to work on it because we're too far away.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that individually, but, you know, it's getting there.
It's very difficult. It's a very difficult task that you are about to do. I really admire that. That's why I really want to listen to your songs. I want to change topics a little bit. I want to talk about Coldplay Live. How's your list of Coldplay Live concerts that you have attended?
Nothing.
Really?
I haven't been to any concerts.
That's sad.
See, because I became a fan with him for the weekend. Well, I got into them, but I wasn't really a fan. And I kind of forgot about them for like 2 months, and then I picked it fully up. But by the time I became like a full-on fan and wanting to see them live, it was around the Kaleidoscope EP. So I became a fan when they went on a break.
Yeah, they were stopping touring by that time.
Yeah, and I only created my Twitter account by the Los Uni dates.
Wow.
And so I didn't see them live yet.
Sad, bro. I'm sad for you and pandemic.
I'm
and
really
this kind of
sad
thing.
As well.
How is pandemic on your country? Do you have perspective of seeing them or anyone live?
Yeah, I think so. There's a policy right now that if you get a negative test, you'll get like a little code on your phone and you can go anywhere without distance. So that's really nice, but it's not really something for world tour, because there's so many countries that still need help and vaccines. So maybe not for Coldplay, but I can go out if I want.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I live in Brazil, so things here are not the best. And that's basically why I asked you that. But talking about this live thing idea, you said something about Kaleidoscope, and I need to hear something because I went to a concert on the very end of the tour. It was not the last concert, but the next one they did was the Buenos Aires one, that was the actual last concert of the tour. So I went to see them live in Porto Alegre. There's a city here in Brazil. One day after that, they recorded the Live in São Paulo show. And so I have like that great amount of energy on them, like doing DVDs and live concerts, and it was a great show, but they didn't play any song from Kaleidoscope, and they had just released Kaleidoscope. I was very, I would say pissed, but I was like, why? Why didn't you play Kaleidoscope? I think they played All I Can Think About Is You once, and Hypnotized as an acoustic once again in another concert. But I mean, like, why did you only play one song? For Aliens were never played live. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's Coldplay, isn't it? But didn't they play something just like this?
Yeah, they just played that song. I mean, live. that's a great song because of like fireworks and Coldplay being Coldplay and all those things. But Alien, I can't go on to that. And they played All I Can Think About Is You once in Japan, I guess. And it was amazing. It was pure Coldplay. I mean, four guys playing and that's it. Like no backing tracks or maybe strings backing tracks and the force of Chris, Johnny, Guy, Will, and that's it. And that was just amazing. And they never did it again. So I was like, why? Why? But this is just me crying.
Maybe All I Can Think About Is You is too intense to play.
Probably.
That could be a reason. Or not, just not popular enough. They have, well, by the end of this year, hopefully, 9 albums with hundreds of songs. They can't play them all. Like, if they can choose between something just like this, which is a massive hit, or All I Can Think About Is You, I get the choice of choosing for something just like it.
Yeah, I can't complain about that. They play, like, Always In My Head. They play Don't Panic in the concert that I went to. But talking about touring, Coldplay, well, you have never been to a Coldplay concert, but I'm pretty sure that you want to, and I'm pretty sure that this is going to happen with, and well, I hope that this is able to happen with Music of the Spheres. So let's talk a little bit about the future of Coldplay. Did you enjoy Higher Power? What's your opinion about this song?
Yeah, I enjoyed all 690 versions of it. No, but without jokes, I really liked the song. When it first came out, and I still do, the video clip is fantastic. People rate it because it doesn't have a story, but just looking at it, like the work that's gone into it, and I mean 3 parts, so I hope that it has like a follow-up. It's just a great song, and even the remixes aren't that bad. I mean, the Chester remix is pretty enjoyable. And the one that came out today, Alexander Remix, is also really good.
I can easily ignore the remixes. I like the memes. I like to see people posting memes about it on Coldplay Twitter and something. But I can easily ignore if I don't like them. I mean, it's something so... And you said that people didn't like it because of it doesn't have a story. Do you agree? Agree with that this doesn't have a story, because I can't name a Coldplay, like if you get maybe The Scientist or and even maybe Talk, but Coldplay's videos are not story based in general, like Adventure of a Lifetime,
maybe half of them are, but and video clips shouldn't be just story based, they should be fun videos.
Yeah, like, and it's
yellow, it's just walking on a beach.
Yeah, yeah. And people love
Crocs is just performing. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. But we also know that it's going to be like a 3-part big video, that it's maybe like 3 singles divided into 3 music videos that then contains a big story. But I'm pretty glad to see Chaotica, or maybe not, because there are some fans that says that it is not Chaotica, because Chaotica appears in the end of the music video, right? And do you have a theory about that? I love to hear about people's theories.
I had a theory that it was just for the purpose of showing the planet in the video. And I think they confirmed it in an interview as well. It's Chaotica that they filmed it on.
Yeah, I remember that interview, but how was that Chaotica if Chris gets out of the planet and then Chaotica appears on the end of the video? I got so confused on that.
I think it's just for the purpose of why not? Like, we needed a planet and we didn't want to spoil too much, so let's just paste in Chaotica.
Yeah, it matches with Chris's description of Chaotica, like being the leftovers of other planets. He said something like that in some interviews. All we can talk about now are theories. And for me, that's the best part, because I love thinking of all those theories. What do you think that Music of the Spheres, and I don't know if that's an album or not, they never made it very clear, but what are your expectations for the record?
I think it's a... or just a regular album with three singles, or it's a triple album. But not like 20 songs, rather like maybe 15 songs and then divided in three parts of five.
Three EPs, something like
that. Guy said something like, well, it's very experimental and the most experimental we've ever done. What? You just released Arabesque. Okay. Yeah. So what's... But maybe they think experimental is collaborating with BTS. That's possible.
Yeah.
I think maybe they have one pop side and one experimental side and one other side, maybe. I don't know.
That's a good one. I've never thought of it like side A, like pop music, side B, experimental music, like Coldplay's Kid A or something like that. I remember reading comments when Midnight came out that this was going to be like Coldplay's experiment, Coldplay's Kid A from Radiohead, and I was like, wow, that would be amazing. So maybe that's the time now for us to have like at least one third of Coldplay being Kid A or a fully experiment. I think that Everyday Life is the experimental album that Coldplay wanted to do, and now they come with this one is the greatest experimental album we've done. So I have no idea. That's basically it.
Maybe they're making a mix, because of course they gotta go on tour and their label wants them to earn money. That's their purpose for them. So maybe they'll do a mix of commercial and not so much commercial music. Like Viva La Vida, really. That was also...
Yeah.
Viva La Vida and Love's in Japan and songs like that are very commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They're just big hits and they really well advertise them. And the rest is very experimental with Cemeteries of London and Yes. And
yeah, like, I was thinking about those, by the way. Yeah, I agree with you. It would be very nice if Coldplay went to a place like Viva La Vida, creatively speaking. I remember on A Handful of Dreams, the documentary where we have that scene of Brian Eno and the guys doing like some random experiments without Chris and creating things based on that. And I remember a scene where we have like Will blindfolded with some drumsticks hitting over someone's head with the drumsticks, and I was like, that's amazing, that's Coldplay, that's pure Coldplay randomness. And I would be really glad if they did something, not sonically, and I don't want to hear like Viva La Vida number 2. I guess that's, and Coldplay will never do Viva La Vida number 2. But I really hope that they creatively have the same freedom that they seem to have like on Viva La Vida, but also on Everyday Life. They are your favorite ones, so maybe my favorites too. That's a question that I'm not really able to answer. But that's my hopes for Everyday Life. Oh, not Everyday Life, sorry. For Music of the Spheres. We already have Everyday Life. So, thank you very much. I won't be able to pronounce your last name because I have already forgotten it, and I'm sorry about it. But Frank, thank you very much for your participation here.
Well, no problem, my pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have anything, any last words, any last thing to say? Wow, last words
seems
like you're going to die.
That's
like,
evil.
I'm not killing you. I'm pretty sure that I'm not. But do you have any last comments? I think that's better.
Well, one last comment on the Higher Power and next album thing. By now, I'm pretty much convinced that the next single might be with BTS, and they're releasing this week. So they maybe want to wait for that. So I think they might, maybe they'll announce or tease the next single in 2 weeks, I think.
Well, when this episode comes out, it will be probably out then, so we can like add something here, but I'm curious, why do you think that they are releasing something? Like, is there anything that I don't know that happened this previous week?
Oh no. I mean, BTS is releasing a new song, so they might want to wait for that if they want to release the possible collab next.
So you're thinking like BTS will release this single and then some weeks will pass and they will release the other one?
Yeah, I think so, because they don't want to take the spotlight away, or like, yeah, I think that's the case.
Yeah, I got your point. That's very nice. I didn't know this thing about BTS. And just the last question, I think you got a great topic here. What's your opinion about it? How do you see this BTS Coldplay thing?
How do I see this?
Yeah, because this got very polemic some weeks ago. I really don't see why some people cried so much about it, to be honest. But how do you think that this is going to be for them? And how do you think that this is... How do you feel about it?
People love to cry about things.
Of course.
So we don't gotta worry about that too much. I think it will be a great song. And it'd be really great for them to have a really big hit again after something just like this. And they need it, and they'll attract a whole new audience and many more fans, and you know, it's really great for them. And the song can be really good as well. People underestimate BTS, but if it's a Coldplay collab, it won't be a BTS song, it will be a Coldplay song with their vocals on it. Like, don't worry too much about it. It will be great.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful talking to you. I hope that you had a good time around here. And, well, you are pretty welcome around here anytime you want. If you want to be a part of the podcast again, if you want to talk more, you are free to do so. Don't worry about that, okay?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much, friend. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much, and see you next week.